meow, meow, meow. Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends. Mr. Derek J. broadcasting from Pod Bay 2 Gay. Professional Prisoner Studios. We blast only the highest quality happiness waves out into the atmosphere, surrounding the globe with good vibrations and forcing bad hamsters to surrender. This cools your stool to a tepid and tenacious 25 degrees and keeps a sin flood of straightism out of your brain. Can you feel it, Diana? Can you feel it? Is it working?
Oh, I am here.
Yeah. Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I've got my safe words all lined up.
Meow. So we tonight, you are going to hate...
needs a trigger warning.
We do. Although it can't be meow, because we do that all the time. Or maybe that is... No. That's the warning. Meow. Something interesting is about to happen.
Well, we got events. We got events to talk about.
What's that?
There's... Well, okay, this weekend in Vancouver, where I'm coming from, we have the Gay Pride Parade.
Yay!
Going on.
Gay! Yay. Be proud! Proud of something you can't control! I don't know. What is Gay Pride supposed to be about?
Well, you know, I uploaded a video this weekend on my channel, you know, asking them what they're so proud about, because...
I'm proud that we got the rainbow
today, aren't we?
I'll just say it. I'm gay, so I'm
proud. Rainbows are fun.
I'm part of the gay community, I guess. And somehow, I guess this happened before I was born, but we got the rainbow. Good job, us.
Well, you know, rainbows, you know, it's a pretty good symbol, you know, diversity and so on. But, there's some severe problems in the community that I wanted to bring some attention to. And I think it kind of connects to the anarchy community in a way, because one of the things they're doing is demanding that they be liked. They're demanding positive rights, that the government get involved to force people to like them and accept them. And they're basically...
Well, wait a minute. Like, where? Like, at work? Like, you can't fire someone because they're gay?
Well, absolutely, you can't.
Well, there
That's
are
in,
like
in the law now.
Not everywhere in the U.S. There are something like 24 states where you can still fire someone for being gay.
In Canada, that's not true.
Well, oh, okay.
If you're openly gay, then if somebody fires you, you can demand some restitution, because you can say, for even if it was you were bad at your job, you can claim that it was because of your sexual alignment.
How do you feel about that, by the way?
Well, I'm against human rights, not because they're bad in concept, but because they're bad in terms of justice and demands upon the public.
I think so, like half the audience head just exploded. You're against human rights? What?
I know.
But then again, I used to work for the American Civil Liberties Union as a fundraiser, and this was one of the talking points that we would share in PA, which is one of the states where you can still be fired for being gay. This was in Philadelphia, and I was shocked that that was the case. But then it's like, do you want to work for and enrich an employer who doesn't agree with, like, who you are as a human being and, like, the way you live your life? I don't. I mean, I guess it's everybody's choice if you'd like to be in the closet and keep making money for the same person who hates you. But, like, why would you want to? Why do you want that to be the law? Like, I want my employer who hates me to not be able to fire me even though they want to. How does that make any sense?
So. Exactly. That's one of the things about employment, is not just liking what you do for a living, getting some enjoyment out of it, but it's in liking who you work with. So if you find yourself working with people who don't like you, who actively loathe you, or who you happen to actively loathe, then, you know, what's the point in staying in that job? You're just going to be miserable. I can't see any value whatsoever in forcing somebody to employ you. I think it's a misjudgment of, you know, what's important in life. It's a valuing of finances and, you know, access to commodities through, you know, employment and so on. you know, there's that's the thing, is what is important to you in life, how much you own and how much money you make and your position or stature in, you know, the workforce and in the community, or is it, you know, happiness in general with the people you surround yourself with?
Worms.
And encoding these things into law is just outrageous to me. And it's not that human rights are bad in concept. It's not that people, you know, shouldn't be granted some sort of, you know, acceptance or you know, not you shouldn't be granted acceptance, actually. You have to earn that. You have to earn most of what you get in life. And I think this is one of the problems, is the infantilization of society in the last few generations, where you're told that you deserve things instead of you have to go out and earn them. Life's not easy. You don't just get given things because of who you are. And I think identity politics is really misleading people. And that's
it's
where we're at now.
It's like this tempting fairy tale of government magic wands, you know, of like, just run to daddy and he's going to make it all better. Like, I don't know. I was reading before doing this show about some statistics on the LGBT community. It seems like a lot of, like a majority of young people who are gay are in places or feel like they're in places where it's not accepted to be gay. And so when they get older and they get these promises from politicians like, we're going to make it so that even your, you know, gay-hating uncle is going to have to employ all the gays. And, you know, it's like so tempting for them to be like, well, yeah, that sounds good. I want the government to get involved. I'm not big enough or strong enough, and I can't convince these people. And it's just so much easier to pull a lever and get them to do the things I want. So, like, the government promises are so tempting, but I don't think most of the gay community thinks about it, or anybody thinks about what the government's doing when they pull a lever and vote for them. Because essentially they're threatening government guns. They're threatening guns against the employers. I mean, that, let's be real, and that's what it comes down to. If you fire someone for being gay, they're gonna fine you, maybe imprison you if it comes to it, and if you resist that, they're pulling out the guns. So every government law is backed by a gun. And it's not necessary, it's not the solution to encouraging employers to be more open. Threatening them with guns,
basically,
not friendly.
It's the childhood, you know, it's not fair. They were mean to me. And, you know, and demanding that somebody else, you know, punish the person, put them in the corner with a dunce cap on or something. And as adults, I think that you need to be more aware of the long-term impact of things. Like if you have some sort of legal system, and it doesn't require a state to enforce legal codes, right? Any group of people can get together and decide upon their social mores and taboos and so on, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you start to come up with these codes, then you need to be careful about the interpretation of these things and how they're going to be used in the future, right?
Well,
I don't know if an anarchist society would have like the kind of legal system that's like so complex. It's really, the legal system nowadays is all about words.
Well, would the anarchist society of the future have a gay pride festival? That's what I'm wondering.
Well,
what's the problem with having one right now? I mean, just the fact that you don't like that gays ask for government to do things, because that's the case for most people. So why do you hate the gays?
Why I hate the gays? Well, first of all, you know, I'll make it clear for anybody who doesn't know, I'm part of the LGBT community, technically.
Which right? part?
So, I'm the B, which is much denied in that community itself.
That's not real. That's not a part of LGBT.
Bisexuals don't real.
you just haven't made up your mind yet.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they say? So
I'm bisexual, and also I don't identify as a gender. It's not like... I think there's potential that if I was born a few decades later, I would be in transition to male, but I'm quite thankful that that wasn't true at the time. I'm really quite concerned with the demand that children who are too young to even choose whether or not to have sex can determine what sex they are, what gender they are. And are being put on hormone blockers, which potentially will eliminate their ability to reproduce.
Well, let's talk about that.
Reproductive choices.
What about presenting? I heard this word recently when I was out in San Francisco. I present as male, is what somebody said. And I was like, yeah, I like that because, you know, I look around. I can't always tell. Some people, they adopt a style that is recognizably masculine. Others are more nebulous. And I like when people inform me, like, what they like their pronouns to be. So how do you feel about the word presenting male? Or do you say you present male or female? Or anything?
I think that if you have to tell people how you present, it's kind of like a comedian telling people that they know they're funny.
But what if you're
laughed?
What if you're a pre-op extraterrestrial like our friend Davi Barker, also a freedom fiend? You really have to tell people because then they don't know. How are they going to know you're a pre-op extraterrestrial?
I do sympathize with the trans community. I think that they're basically living in the flesh a lot of the questions that society is trying to answer. And they're actually stuck in, you know, physically living out this kind of drama and uncertainty. But one of my questions is, in our current society, the way I see it, you can pretty much present however you want. You can dress however you want. You can, if you're born in a male body, you can wear a dress. You can do whatever you want.
Whee!
And people are fairly tolerant in comparison to the past. But for some reason, one of the things I find really strange is that the community that says that gender is a social construct is more focused on gender than anyone else. They're obsessed with it.
Huh. Okay. So what? So it's a social construct. Why wouldn't they want to be obsessed with it? It's like a big part of their lives, apparently. And like, there's a lot of stuff that people don't know, myself included. Like, I want to be respectful and polite of all people. You know, it's the golden rule. So I want to treat others the way I would want to be treated. And these people are informing me that they get a little bit offended when I call them by the wrong pronoun or something. So I heard of this idea of replacing all pronouns with gender neutral pronouns. Like, instead of he said, she said, it would be Z said.
Or we're all hens. That's what they got in Sweden, I think it is. Yeah.
It's cool with me. Oh,
it's
hey.
The hen.
Special announcement.
Cuckoo.
Hey, there's a kitty that's missing in Salt Lake City, and we're on in Salt Lake City. So her name is Kitty.
You're
go find
listening
her.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, chasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Meow, meow, meow. Worms! Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. Hey, that special announcement was for Sirius. There is a cat, and it's missing, and this is a show where we love to meow. So, you know, if you're out in the downtown Salt Lake City area, there's a cat named Kitty, and the color of this cat is like creamy mocha foam on a cappuccino. So if you see that little cat and you say, Kitty, and it comes to you, like, contact the fiends over Twitter or something immediately, and we will find the rightful owner.
I can just see this going wrong. You're going to have, like, hundreds of people calling you with random cats saying that they found the one.
Tweet
the one
your
cat
pictures at us if you
and
think you found
the
right
one.
Huh?
You have hundreds of cats now. You have to find their
home. We'll match the right one because we have the Twitter of the person who lost their cat. They're putting out a reward. I won't say how much money they're offering, but
and
It is.
And then you know what you're going to have. You're going to have a bunch of people telling you that they've got a stolen cat because somebody took
the cat. Yeah, right.
They found the lost one.
Or what? Yeah, we'll have people stealing cats. Exactly. okay. No,
trying to be the hero.
There's no financial incentive here. Forget about it. All right. Back to hating gay people.
Don't just take the cat, people.
So a gay guy and a bisexual woman were hating gays on the radio. And what did they say? Something about gay pride? Why is it even necessary anymore? I do think that. Like, I grew up in a time and place when being gay was totally accepted. And I realize that's not the case for everybody. But that was my experience. And I never really felt hated on. I've been called the F word before. You know, the gay F word. Out on the street, and that happens still occasionally, because I like to wear short shorts, and some people are uncomfortable about, I don't know, whatever, but it did seem weird to me that there was such a thing as gay pride, because I'm like, I'm white, why aren't there white pride festivals, you know, like, it's just a, and I guess there are in some places, but I just mean, like, you can't be proud of something that you didn't do, and I didn't do being gay, that just is how I am. Like, I don't know if it's how you're born or whatever, but it's definitely not an accomplishment, you know?
I do know, like, when I grew up, it was before your time, and there wasn't the same amount of tolerance, but it wasn't a judgment from the outside community on a large part that really had an effect on me. It was just plain rejection, you know, like, I'm bisexual. When I was about 6 years old, and, you know, through 9 years old, I was, you know, attracted to women, and they noticed, and they shunned me, and they...
How young?
Between 6 and 9.
That's super young. And you were attracted to girls?
Yeah, and they noticed me looking at them in a sexual way, and I was ridiculed for it.
Wow.
And so I just sort of buried that part of me, but what, you know, and I'm
ridiculed
not
by whom?
Damaged by it.
The girls who, okay, yeah. Oh, that's hard. It must have been hard.
But it's part of, no, it's not. It's part of life, right? Yeah. In the same way that people who aren't as attractive are going to be ridiculed by people they're attracted to for looking at them. And in fact, you see that all the time right now. If an unattractive person, man, looks at an attractive woman, it's considered harassment. Right?
This is I don't know.
The Everyday Sexism Project. No, seriously. If an attractive man wolf whistles at a woman, she's going to be happy about it. She's not going to consider that harassment. That's just the way it works. The judgment is from the person being looked at. It's a judgment on the person who's looking at them.
Hmm. Well, it seems like the gays of the past endured a lot more of that. And now it's not like that. Like, if I hit on a straight guy at a bar or something, they'll just, you know, they're like, oh, thanks anyway. No, I'm not gay. You know, and like, whereas before it was, you get your lights punched out. So I guess there used to be something to celebrate at gay pride festivals, like, hey, we're here and we're not getting beat up. And here, you know, like, we're here,
well,
we're queer.
Still get beat up
get used
anyways,
to it.
Because people
really?
Are jerks, right?
Yeah, but in bigger numbers than everybody else? I thought that was over.
I know, like, two of my friends from high school, they had sons who got their jaws broken or needed reconstructive surgery, put it that way. Two of the people who I still contact or had contact with from high school, their sons needed actual reconstructive surgery, and they're not gay. They're just basically boys who were assaulted by bullies, and one of them had his face stomped on. And
did the bullies think they were gay?
No.
So gay had nothing to do with it. So okay,
there's
so
just
yeah,
a lot of jerks out there in the world.
People get beat up all the time. My point was, though, I think gay people in the past had a reason for gay pride rallies, and we've sort of outlived that.
Oh sure, yeah.
Worms.
Granted.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Meow.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Humiliation and terror makes gay people ask for more government.
Exactly.
I don't need any more government. No thanks. I've had a heaping helping. I just can't fit any more. How about you, Diana?
Well,
more?
One of the... absolutely not. That's why I don't participate in this LGBT community.
Stuffed.
One of the things about the gay community in its activist form is their demands on the government to participate and interfere more in individuals' lives.
Yeah.
And they're...
all the gays support Hillary. She's a big warmonger, big government person. And there's no articulable reason for supporting Hillary. I went up to... I was at the Cheshire County Fair this week here in Cheshire County, New Hampshire, where I could meet the regular folks, you know, the real people. And there was a Hillary booth there. So I went up to talk to them. The guy there was clearly gay, and I was asking, you know, like, so why do you support Hillary? And he's like, oh, her leadership, and she supports families, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's such wishy-washy nonsense, non-answers. It's just weird that, why does the gay community just love more government? They chose the biggest government candidate out of all of them to get behind. Why? I mean, and by the way, like, shouldn't they be upset with her for not leaving Bill when he was, like, sleeping around, right? Like, shouldn't they be upset? Like, oh, you're not
maybe
an independent
woman.
She's
part of the open marriage community.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe that's why they accept her. So, but what was this thing? We didn't get to it, but you were saying how gay pride became fetish pride. Can you get into that?
Right, well... I think it's really interesting that one their basic demand is that society accept them as normal, and yet when they have their pride parades, it's a circus, pretty much. So it's it seems a lot less like gay pride, because gay people come in all different forms, and a lot of them just look like the average person. But the gay pride parade presents it like they're all a bunch of bondage gear-wearing fetish BDSM people,
yum.
Right? Which maybe needs its own festival.
Yeah, right? It has its own festival. I was just there. I was in San Francisco, and there certainly are
actual
festivals of that kind.
Festival?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was called the Door Alley Festival. It happens at a place called Door Alley, and it's the little brother of what's called the Folsom Street Fair. Just a trigger warning, don't Google any of that stuff unless you are an adult.
And you're not watching it from work.
Right.
It is NSW, not safe for work.
Sure. But yeah, there are festivals like that where people can let loose and be wild out in public in the streets. And it's a parade, Diana. I mean, come on. Are you anti-parade? You only want the ones where people are in uniforms marching around and playing trumpets and swinging flags.
I
want a parade
briefly,
with
you know?
Feather boas and high-heeled shoes and dancing in dresses. I got a dress today myself. Talk about the world is changing. I bought a dress from a child laborer immigrant today at the Cheshire County Fair. Take that. And I didn't buy it with Bitcoin. That would be the ultimate trifecta of freedom. But it was cool. I asked the kid. I was looking around at the dresses. The kid was working the booth, probably for his parents, which were on break. And I was like, hey, what one of those do you think would fit me? And he's like, oh, those are all one size fits all. I was like, oh, no. One of the other dresses. Like, he didn't flinch. He saw I was looking at the dresses. He, like, heard my question, and he answered it honestly right away. And then I was like, oh, one of these other ones. So he walked around with me, came over to the other dresses. I put one up to my body. He was like, you know, out of the large, extra large, or extra, extra large, which, you know, I'm a big woman. was he said to choose the large. He even gave me a spot behind one of his large blankets that were hanging as advertised, so that I could get changed behind in privacy. And I just thought that was like, wow, so nice. This kid must have been 11 or 12 years old or something. And he was more accepting than most of the community there. I mean, some of the people had given me compliments on what I was wearing in the past, but I was asked to put on a shirt. I was asked to put on more clothes, basically. I was wearing short shorts at the fair. I was asked to take my gun off, which I didn't expect to happen in New Hampshire. You know, like, you should be able to be who you are in these places.
So just hearing people walking around with guns on their belts and stuff is so funny to me.
It was weird. Like, the security guy who came up to me, first of all, I know him by first name, and he knows me and my videos and stuff. So he's seen me and was like, "Hey, Derek," and he's got his gun on him. He's got a Glock. I've got a Glock. We're having a good time. We had chatted the day before, but now he's like, sorry, the security asked us to come over and enforce the rules that, you know, you're not allowed to have
this
a gun
even
here.
More awesome. Now we've got like a guy wearing a dress with a Glock on his belt.
Ah,
that is awesome.
No, I didn't put the dress on while I was at the vending table, because I was afraid, to be honest. I wasn't afraid of getting hurt or anything, but I was afraid it was going to turn people off. I noticed that when I dress really gay, the people of Cheshire County don't like it. They're just not that kind of folks. Like, in San Francisco, hey, that's cool. People love it. You get whistles. Here in Cheshire County, people are like, they don't know how to approach you. They're a little bit afraid. Like, I don't know if you're going to jump at me and make my children gay or something. Like, so stay away. You're scary.
Yeah, I grew up.
What?
I grew up in a smaller town, right?
Yeah.
I guess in the 1980s, I went out to Le Chateau, back when Le Chateau was not so expensive. It was actually a place where goth people used to go to buy cheap clothes.
Cool.
And they used to fall apart shortly after you bought them, which is what we liked about them.
Nice.
So they didn't look new for too long.
They look worn.
We really liked that. And then they got, I guess, criticized for it by too many people. So they upped their quality, and then they also upped their prices. And I couldn't imagine shopping there now. But anyways, I went into Le Chateau with this friend of mine, and he and I both tried on the same dresses. And
Yay.
He looked better in every one of them.
Yeah.
We were there for like half an hour. We tried on about 20 dresses, and I think he looked better in every single one of them.
You know, what I noticed about dresses, and I got to work on this because your friend probably has a tiny waist, is like they look great the tighter the waist, almost impossibly tight. So like my dress looked all right, but I could see a little poppage happen out at my belly. It didn't look so good. So I'm just like, wow, the standard for women, it's really different. You know, you walk a mile in their shoes. How about walking a mile in their dress? See what it's like. It's it made me not want to eat a bunch of fried food at the fair, that's for sure.
Well, no, it could make you just want to learn how to sew, because you can alter stuff.
that's like, right. Or wear a corset.
Especially if you want to get cheap clothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just add a corset.
Those were crazy.
No.
That's like, you know, and then they have like women who've had ribs removed and stuff to reduce their waistline. Which,
cool.
And it's just getting crazy.
Hey, do but, you? You only live once. Why not remove a rib so you can look better in your clothing? Your choice.
That's the thing, is that like no matter what you look like, and I worked in the film industry, so I worked with beautiful people, and no matter how beautiful they are, there's something about themselves they don't like.
Mm.
And for some reason, today's community thinks that any slight dissatisfaction with their body requires plastic surgery.
Yeah, I feel that way. You don't think so? Come on.
No,
why not change it? You don't like your nose? Change it. You don't like your hair? Buy some more.
But the long-term effects, like, you know, it just doesn't look right. People's faces, they look plastic. I know in The Hunger Games, which I think actually started out as a fabulous series, not too fond of the ending of it, they have a part of the community in The Hunger Games story, that the main community, where people are altering themselves to look like animals.
Cool.
We've actually got that in our society.
Yeah.
Like some woman
people
obsessed
add horns
with lions
and stuff.
Or something.
Yeah. People get like horn implants on their forehead. How crazy is that? I mean, but hey, if that's what you're into, if that's what makes you feel like you're projecting your inner flower onto the world, then, you know,
Soak up that sunshine. Wear your horns. Proud.
Well, to me, it just means just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Well, what do you want? Everyone to look the same, Diana? March in
well,
goose step
the
with,
same already.
With the Diana parade. We have no feather boas, no body modifications allowed. I mean, why not? I have snake bites. I had them for a little while.
I see it like art.
Yeah, it's art.
I think body modification is artwork, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is some stuff you have to think about. The canvas that you're working on is going to age. So I think that some foresight is required. And also, you see stuff like, I was going into the SkyTrain station here. There's a guy walking in front of me who's got Betty Boop tattooed, the exact same picture on the back of both of his calves.
Right?
So
that's weird.
It's just, I don't think
I
he
hope he's
that
married. Is he married? Did he get that after he was hitched?
I don't know. I wasn't looking at it.
You're going to have a hard time. Just saying. Also, I can't do tattoos, but it's because I'm too much of a wimp. I'm afraid that it's going to hurt. I always hear, you know, I hear people like wincing in pain and stuff. Just do it.
I'm not afraid of the pain part. It's just the permanency part that I had one in mind that I was going to do. And I decided that because I like to be, you know, thoughtful about what I do that's going to be permanent in my life. I put a picture that I wanted on my fridge, and I decided that if I could look at that for a year, and I still liked it at the end of a year, then I would get it tattooed.
What was it a picture
and I
of?
I loved it. It was a self-designed water dragon tattooed.
Mm.
Right? It was kind of a stencil-type looking thing.
And you made it.
Nice. Yeah, I designed it. I looked up a bunch of stuff online and modified them, and I made it myself.
Huh.
And I absolutely loved it for 10 months. And then after 10 months, for some reason, I just looked at it and went, eh.
Yeah, it just didn't jump out at you anymore. The water dragon also dried up.
I was going to have basically a tramp stamp, right? So like,
oh, no. You were going to get it on your lower back?
Yeah, but it was symbolic because it was like, to me, it was going to be Kundalini energy, right? So a dragon representing Kundalini energy, and it would be on my spine.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be one of the more painful areas.
I don't know what that is.
Concern.
But okay. Is it
Kundalini,
like magic energy?
Yeah, metaphysical kind of, I don't know, like, I guess it's like semi-Buddhist or whatever. Anyways,
okay,
doesn't really matter. But I don't know. It's just like, I can't remember. Your question confused me. But yeah, when you do something permanent, then I think it requires proper amount of thought. And nowadays, people are just, they're rushing out and they're getting plastic surgery, they're hormone blocking, they're doing all these things as if your right now feelings of okayness are the only thing that matters, and it's bigger than that.
I hear you. You got to fix what's inside, if that's the problem.
That's your job. Learn to like who you are.
I don't know. I say change who you are. Change it all. And then change it back if you don't like it. More fiends when we come back.
You can get.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Trigger warning.
Worms, 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 worms.
Yeah, trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends.
The show not worth fact-checking.
Interesting content ahead. So, humiliation, huh?
Humiliation. Actually, it's a whole fetish on its own.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that is a pretty big fetish.
But one of the things that I think is really problematic for people is the embarrassing moments in their life. And in an attempt to overcome those embarrassing moments and to survive them, they start making demands upon other people, or they end up projecting a lot of stuff onto the community that's supposed to be remedied for them, right? But one of the things I found, and it's a really common experience, that a lot of people, until they hear you say it, they don't realize how common it is that in life, things happen that you're going to be embarrassed about in memory. You'll see something, you'll hear a word, whatever, and it's going to suddenly trigger a memory of something stupid you wore, some stupid thing you said, or some awkward situation previously in your life that you literally sometimes have to shake your head to get it out of your memory. And it's this really intense experience of embarrassment that haunts you for a long time. And people don't realize that you're the only one who remembers it. Everyone else around you is so preoccupied with their own embarrassing moments, they're busy trying to shake those out of their head, and nobody else remembers it but you. They might remember it because you told them about it and how, you know, horrified you were by it, and they'll remember that it was a thing for you. But even your best friends, they're struggling with their own moments. We're all struggling, neurotic beings, trying to figure out how to get along and associate with each other. Yeah.
Do you think it will eliminate the feeling of, or erase that trigger of humiliation that you feel if you reveal your humiliating story for the rest of the world?
No, I don't think it does, actually. One of the ways...
Well, you want to do it anyway? I would love to hear it.
One of the ways I got through it was realizing things like Fergie, right? Who was a singer for Black Eyed Peas, and she's a singer on her own right, on her independent label or whatever.
Yeah.
She was on stage with Black Eyed... Yeah, Fergie. She was on stage with Black Eyed Peas, and she peed herself in front of tens of thousands of people.
Right? And this isn't a thing that the Black Eyed Peas do. That's not their... It's a different kind of peas.
That's not a gig for them. Yeah. That's not their game, right? So she peed herself on stage, and while she was live, she just, you know, she was thinking quick, dumped a bottle of whatever she had in her hand.
She was not thinking quick. That was drunk thinking. It was like, I've got alcohol next to me, and I'm super drunk.
Yeah, and so she tried to cover it up by just pouring more liquid on top of herself and continued on with the show without really breaking. And
she was confronted afterwards. Don't you think? I mean, you've seen people wet themselves just slightly, and it's not that bad. I mean, probably you would have to really have a zoom-in lens and look at just the right angle from a stage. But then pouring like a 40 on your pants, I mean, that's going to wet the whole thing. All of the pictures are going to look like, whoa, she went crazy on stage.
Unless she just like poured it over like from her chest down or something like that.
Oh, that's different.
Like some erotic.
That
knows?
Could be sexy. Yeah,
I didn't actually watch the footage. I just read about it.
Oh, okay.
Heard about it on the radio.
Yeah, maybe she did it real sexy.
Maybe she was confronted afterwards. They said, "So, did you actually pee yourself?" And she goes, "Yeah, whatever. We were drinking backstage, and we go out and we're jumping around. You know, it happens. Whatever."
Right? She could have denied it. She had the opportunity.
But if she had, it would have become a bigger deal. She just kind of owned it, and then just said, "Whatever."
Yeah, it would be like, did she, didn't she? And then they'd be talking about it on E.
Yeah, but instead, everyone just kind of forgot about it, and she went on. And I thought, you know what? If Fergie can get up in front of 20,000 people and pee herself and still survive to do massive-selling singles albums, then what am I worried about? I wore some stupid outfit, or I said something stupid this one time, or, you know, I had a bad sexual experience where I was kind of embarrassed afterwards. Like, all of these things, nobody else remembers it.
Yeah. It's almost always in your head. If you think, like, people are still thinking about that stupid thing or you said or that stupid thing you wore tomorrow at work, no. They've forgotten about it. They don't care.
They got their own problems.
Yeah, like, your life really doesn't matter to them, honestly. And that's a good thing. That's something to celebrate and take comfort in.
Remember it.
She could just keep on moving. All right, Worms. Hey, when we come back, there's a girl who cried rape because she was being arrested. And I think Diana and I are going to have a difference of opinion on this video. We can't share the video with you, but we can share what was said between this girl and what happened. Why was this man taking her away? How did she react?
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends from the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We've hijacked the CIA's orbital mind control laser to beam the pirate signal of protest directly into your frontal cortex and tell you that you are free. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends! This product and or service is licensed by the Bipcot No Gov license. Check it out at bipcot.org. It means that use and reuse by anyone except government agents is okay. So if you're a government agent, you have to stop listening. You can't even remember what you've heard. You have to zap yourself with a Men in Black
right away.
Memory eraser stick.
Right now, if you're still here,
right, meow.
Just stop.
Meow! So,
seriously.
Hey.
We're watching you.
Speaking of government agents, Diana, there was a pretty nasty one in this video that we saw. Although, as far as government agents go, I guess he was a polite one. So what happened? Can we explain this video in a nutshell?
He's just like, a guy trying to do his job.
Oh, he's just doing his job.
Just doing his job.
Oh, let me tell you about another group of people.
For the Nazis.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So here's the thing. This is a viral video on YouTube, and I think you find it under Woman Screams Rape While Being Arrested, I think is the key phrase.
Yep.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
So it's a really entertaining video, and you know, I got to tell you the truth. When I watched it, I was mostly just entertained by the fiasco.
Ugh.
And I saw.
Did you watch it all the way through the first time? Did you watch it all the way through?
I watched it through like three times in a row. And
ouch!
I see problems on both sides of the conversation.
You right? are such so a glutton for I don't know. I want to say like mayhem, for.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word is.
Unusual situations.
It's painful. You're a glutton for pain.
I didn't find it that unusual at all, actually. But let's just give a description for people listening.
Yeah,
you've got a woman. It starts out kind of partway through. She's got a video camera in the car, and there's a police officer outside. And you briefly see a guy being handcuffed who's exited the car from the driver's side. And she's saying he doesn't have to have a license. We are
free inhabitants.
Free inhabitants, and she cited the not the Constitution, the
Articles of Confederation.
Articles of Confederation, right? Yeah, I'm glad you watched it too. And so she's saying, you know, learn the law. You're not allowed to arrest us. We're free citizens, or we're inhabitants.
Yeah, she claims not to be a citizen of the United States, and the guy's like, well, what are you a citizen of? Like, they're clearly talking past each other.
Yeah. And also, you know, he's saying, well, even if you're not a citizen, if you're in the country of the United States, you must follow our laws. And so he's trying to basically explain his position in terms of his job. And, you know, we can, I think we can assume, we don't know the details, and it was probably happened like a year ago or something, and this has just been uploaded now, but hopefully we'll get more details about it, that they were driving erratically or speeding or something like that. And so he was just doing his job, pulling them over. And then when he asked for the guy's license, he didn't have one. So it's his job to arrest him.
Wait a minute. How is it your presumption that they were driving erratically? It could be that they didn't have a license plate. I mean, that's, it could have been a victimless crime.
It could have, actually. Yeah. That's the thing, is we don't really know the details of how they got arrested. And I guess let's just move on, because the video is about what happened afterwards, where she's asserting that he can't arrest her as a police officer in the United States because she's claiming something from, you know, she's claiming just to be an inhabitant, that she doesn't basically acknowledge the government as authority over her.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
You know, and I like that part, actually. I think that's really fabulous.
Yeah. You can't arrest me. I didn't consent to your rules. I'm not breaking any rules that I agreed to.
So then he's trying to, you know, she demands that he contact his superior. He says, well, I am kind of the superior here, and it would
take hours to contact
somebody above me.
How is there not anyone above him? I mean, ultimately, in government, it goes right up to the president, right? So, like, there's always someone above you if you're a government agent.
But I think there's a bit of a problem in that she's telling him that she knows more about the law than he does.
She might.
Right?
The law enforcers don't have to know the law.
Yeah. Well, and actually she does cite a section of, you know, an article section or whatever that he needs to be aware of.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people on their phones have Google, so he could have actually Googled it to, you know, indulge her a little bit.
Yeah, but he's not interested. He's interested in using force to get compliance. He doesn't care what the law is, because ultimately there's no punishment for him if he breaks it or if he violates her rights. I mean, the punishment for him would be paid by the taxpayers of his town in the form of a payout to this girl. So he doesn't even have any incentive to follow the law. As a law enforcer, it doesn't even matter if he follows the law that he's so-called
obviously
enforcing.
Very goal-oriented. So he's arrested somebody that didn't have a license and was driving. So according to him, that's warrant for arrest. And he's got that guy. And now he wants to tow the car. And he can't tow the car with her inside of it. And she refuses to get out of the car.
Why not? That sounds like it's his choice. You know, if this girl doesn't want to leave her car and you want to steal her and steal the car, well, then why not treat you like the criminal you are? You know, why not peacefully have a sit-in in your own vehicle and say, no, you know, I'm not complying with your demands. I'm not bowing to your gun. So the way I see this, let's get into it. The way I see this traffic stop is, dude, badger not, tells a girl to step out of her own property, to step out of her own car.
It tells a person, it could be any gender.
It could be any person, yeah.
At this point in the story, it could be any person.
Right. And is like, and she's like, no, you know, you don't have any authority over me. You can't boss me around. You're not the king of me. And I can sympathize with that, because I've never agreed to obey the authority of police officers. I never said that they're higher than me or that they have more rights than I do. They don't get to tell me where I can and can't stand, unless it's private property, which anyone could tell me. But it's not like there are these special people that get to boss me around and make me violate my conscience, like doing things that I don't want to do. Like stepping out of my car if I feel unsafe doing that. I should be able to stay there.
The entertainment for me at this point is that she's not trying to communicate with him, really. She's trying to just tell him things. So I think that she would have gotten further if she said, oh, I totally understand that you're trying to do your job, and I sympathize with you, but my position is this.
Yeah. Oh, man, I agree with that. She is really a poor communicator in this video. And to his credit, he may not be bright. He may not know what's going on, and he may be willing to use the government guns against peaceful people, but he is a better communicator than this woman. Who's screaming. First of all, in any video where you're recording your interaction with the police, like, good on you for recording. That's step one. Get an objective record.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise it would be he said, she said. And we can actually watch this video and break it down ourselves, see the objective record. So she did that right, at least. She recorded the incident. But second, don't scream. Like, please don't.
I don't see it helping. Maybe it could help if there are people nearby who can intervene. You think that's going to help? But screaming on video.
Condescending attitude, too.
Yeah, be polite. Like saying, stay
look
calm.
Look up your own laws.
Yeah, stay calm. Be polite. Don't be condescending. This girl does all three. She's really wrong. First of all, she is under a false presumption that using government laws will restrict a government bureaucrat. Like, oh, I've got the magic wand. She believes in magic parchment theory, right? That if you cite some law, a law enforcer is going to care. He doesn't. He doesn't care about that. He just cares about compliance. You're like everybody else, and he's arrested millions of people just like you, or probably not millions, but he's arrested probably hundreds or thousands of people just like you, and he doesn't care what your constitution says. Okay, that's a battle to be had in court or in the court of public opinion, but not during an arrest. You're not going to have any success with that.
I had an encounter with another member of the public, too, where they were asking me to do something for them and being really rude. And I actually just bluntly said, well, you're being extremely rude, so I'm not inclined to help you.
Yeah, amen.
And I think that's one of the, you know, and the shock on the person's face was, you know, hilarious. But that's the reality is
I'm
that if
owed
you want
your
to
help.
Communicate, yeah, they can just make demands upon you and... The you know, that's basically what I was laughing at this point.
But
in the video was this woman
that's how
telling
government...
a cop how to do his job
yeah.
in a way that was not giving him any sort of respect at all as a person. You don't have to respect them as a cop.
Right.
You have to respect them as a person who has their own ideas about what they're doing in life, right?
Yeah. So let's get to the part where they have a little back and forth of like, oh, I didn't sign the Constitution, or I'm not an American citizen, so I don't claim any of the rights or obligations that a citizen has. You know, so basically, you don't have authority over me. I'm a free inhabitant, and I'm just peacefully traveling. And so she uses a lot of this lingo to try and weasel out of the legalese that would otherwise entrap her under the government laws. And
he lies to her. He says, you're not guilty of anything. I'm not going to arrest you, but you're getting there fast.
Yeah, that's another clue for anyone who is not familiar with police interactions. They can lie to you and often do. It's another reason why it's great to get this stuff on video. It may not help in court legally, but it could help you with the jury. At least they could empathize with you, like, oh, hey, I thought that guy said he wasn't going to arrest you, and then you stepped out of the car and he immediately arrested you. Like, well, that was a lie. That wasn't nice. And that's what happened to this girl. So eventually she does step out of the car. She says she's going to walk over to her to a house or something, and the guy's like, no, you can't do that.
Toast.
Yeah, you're being detained. I mean, you are not free to go right now. I'm taking your car. And then, of course, he's going to arrest her, but he doesn't say that. So then
yeah, it's like an investigation, so you can't just leave the scene of a crime until they finish their investigation.
Whatever the crime is, we're not even sure. So,
I mean,
there aren't any other people on the road, apparently. He didn't pull anyone else over, and I'm not hearing cars whizzing by, so it sounds like it's the middle of nowhere. And it sounds like a situation where they don't have a license. If she's this kind of person, she probably doesn't have a registration, doesn't have a license, or doesn't want to show it, and it's just generally not your usual pullover stop. And so this guy, he escalates things with, when police don't get compliance, they have the continuum of force, right? And they're all trained to just apply more force to the situation until you get compliance. And so at one point, she's like, oh, I want to keep my backpack on, like, just... You know, tie my hands around my back with my bag on. And he's like, okay. And then he cuts the backpack away. So she's like, hey,
she totally loses it.
Oh, she unloads
on
him.
And that's where it gets even crazier.
Yeah. So...
starts screaming, literally.
There's more. And then he changes his tone with all the, relax, young lady, relax, stop fighting. I swear they're trained to say that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Worms. Woof. Freedom Fiends.
They're back.
Meow.
Having a little cat and dog fight over whether or not people should be arrested.
No, they shouldn't. Especially for victimless crimes. Hey, this is a great chance to plug my movie. I was arrested 5 times in the span of 6 months here in Fiend, New Hampshire. For victimless crimes, crimes that involve no victims at all. And I went to jail for that. You can watch the movie. It's free at victimlesscrimesfree.com.
It's fascinating
true.
Fun.
It's really actual reality.
I mean, fun at your expense, but...
Yes, please, be entertained. Laugh as I am put in chains. No, it really is. It's a fun flick, and this can be fun to watch. You know, I had a period in my life, Diana, where I was just addicted to these types of police abuse videos, where I just couldn't get enough all day on my newsfeed. It was another person being violently arrested, or you know, screaming rape while being carted away. I don't know. It like triggers some
emotion.
It's
not like they're morally superior just because they wear a badge. I mean, I've known somebody who was a police officer who I went to high school with, who would go out drink driving, and you know, it's not that they value the law to a T, or you know, they're exemplary citizens or something like that. They're basically people who quite often get off on the power of having the badge.
Well, they're following their rational self-interest like everybody else. They're not special.
Worse than police, I actually think security guards can be worse than police because they're wannabe policemen who couldn't cut it.
Right, they want to flex their muscle a little bit.
I know, they've got a complex.
Actually, I don't know. I've had way worse encounters with police than I have with private security, who usually just wave at me and tell me where to get places in the building.
Yeah, no, I mean like security guys that go around and buildings and check keys and stuff like that, and they have the full uniform and stuff, as opposed to just people who have a show shirt at a concert or something that says security on it.
Right. So I want to get back to this free inhabitant girl. She thinks she's got the special magic words that are going to make this guy go, oh, well, you're a free inhabitant. Well then. Excuse me, miss. I'm sorry I stopped you. Be on your way. Which is what I think, like, he should have done. You know, the cop has no business, like, pulling anyone over unless there's a victim involved. Like, oh, hey, you hit that guy over there. You can't do that. That's bad. There are going to be some consequences now. Or, hey, I saw you hit that house and then drive away. That was bad. Can't do that. But this is like... He's not even explaining what she did wrong. Like, but neither of us are even sure why she was stopped in the first place. All we know is this guy wants her body to be removed from her car and put in his control. And she doesn't want that. And he forces it to happen. And she screams rape.
I do feel the need to... Yeah, I know. We'll get to that part really soon. I do feel the need, though, quickly to tell a victimless crime story of my own, which causes some concern in terms of dangerous driving and so on.
Oh.
I was in a vehicle with somebody who prided himself on being a master driver. He was in total control of his vehicle. And we were driving along a mountain road that was gravel. It wasn't like a very good road. And, you know, I was making various statements to indicate to him that I wasn't okay with the speed he was driving at, and he was trying to show off, and he lost control of the vehicle. We almost went off the cliff. Then he's got control enough, and we almost went into the mountainside, almost went off the cliff again.
Show off.
And and I'd said to him, okay, the thing is, I have a kid, and it's not just that I want to live, which I do, it's that I have to live. I'd said this before he lost control, and he still wouldn't slow down. So even though nobody actually died here, I do have to say I have a problem with dangerous driving. And
sure.
I will actually force anybody who's not driving well to pull over and let me out of their car.
Sure. Yeah, so, where was your gun, Diana? You should have pulled a gun on him.
Yeah, I know. But
you live in Canada, right?
So
you
couldn't do that. When you're driving a car, you are responsible for the lives of the people in your car. And I think that we don't need the police. We just need people to be aware of the responsibility of that. So I sound a little intense right now, but just thinking about that again, like I almost died.
I agree with that. But the cops should have no involvement in what is determined to be unsafe driving, because they could pull you over for so-called speeding. And if there's no one on the road and it's a straight highway for 50 miles and I'm speeding, well, I'm sorry. That's just a revenue generation scheme. Yeah. It's not anyone's being endangered.
Talk about how beautiful the prairies are in Canada. I swear, if you're driving on the highway through the prairies, you're going to speed because there's nothing to see.
But if I'm driving at a speed that's making my passengers feel unsafe, that's a victim crime. I think you're seriously creating victims there, and they have every right to pull a gun on you and say, "Hey, slow down, man. I'm getting out of this thing. Ride's over."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to set your own limits for what you can tolerate.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow!
Right now.
Meow, 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 meow.
Like I'm a cat in a slingshot.
Meow. Meow.
That's a fun one. Do it again.
Meow.
Hey, Fiend fan Mike Smith lost his cat in downtown Salt Lake City. We're on the radio there, so we're announcing it. And he's offering a $50 reward. No collar. Creamy beige cappuccino foam colored cat. If anyone finds this cat, they can post a comment on the Fiends site, freedomfiends.com, with their contact info, and we'll hook them up with the owner.
If this you need to lure the cat, its name is Kitty.
That's right.
Not original, but it'll work.
Yes, this has been a Fiends public service announcement. So back to the fun of this girl being arrested and, as she claims, raped. You don't call this rape because... Why?
Well, okay, well, first of all, I've been kind of involved in the conversation about, whether or not rape is a serious crime. And part of the narrative is, using rape.
Wait, is it serious or not? You actually question that? Like, is rape serious?
A serious violent crime, right? So, somebody cutting
where do you stand on that?
Shoulder.
You can't just like blow by that. Where do you stand? Is rape a serious violent crime or not? You say no.
Well, it
sounds
be.
Like oh, it should be.
No, it should be.
Oh, okay.
And the way it's used nowadays, it covers all sorts of things, as somebody feeling bad afterwards and not being quite sure. When you have people going on the internet asking if they were raped, well, if the person doesn't know themselves, then how is the person who purportedly did the crime supposed to know?
I thought rape wasn't about violence. I thought it was about consent.
Well, no. Feminists have made it quite clear that it's a violent crime, not a sexual crime.
Well, what do you think? Not what feminists think, but I think it's about consent. Like, if you violate someone's consent, if you say, like, hey, can I have that hot chocolate? And they're like, no. You're like, and you take it anyway, that's theft, because you've violated consent. And in the same way, if someone is like, hey, you want to have sex? And they're like, no. And you do it anyway, that's what is defined as rape, right? Isn't that the simple textbook definition?
In terms of the actual, like, application of the law, no, I don't think that's the
same
thing. Because you've
got...
But
what about you? What about a Diana law?
Diana.
Are we at least on the same page?
The narrative, the existing narrative, is that rape is worse than death. So,
yeah, but what's Diana say?
What does Diana say?
Yeah.
Diana says that people are really messed up in their head, and a lot of times what's being called rape is a lack of communication, and sometimes the best reparations for an assault on your person is to talk to the person about it and to find out what's messing them up and to let them know that what they did was wrong.
So when someone's grabbing your body, is that the time for a conversation about, oh, you're not communicating, you're not understanding me? I mean,
no, when somebody's grabbing your body, what you do is you figure out the best way to get yourself removed from the situation.
So that's what that girl did. She was trained to scream rape if some guy is touching her in a way she doesn't like. And so she did that.
No, when I was watching it, what I got was that she was in a place with nobody around screaming rape to get attention, where there's no audience.
Well, we don't know if there was an audience or not.
If you're actually being raped, they tell you to scream fire because more people will respond to that.
Oh, interesting.
But I actually think that that her screaming rape when she was being arrested and having her purse removed from her, which they have reasons for doing that. They want to, if you're acting suspicious or interfering with them, then they want to know what you have on your person, right? And he was a male cop, so he can't actually search her body and so on. But, well, I guess he probably could have, but it's not usually a good idea. But anyways... When she started screaming rape, my impression was that she was trying to get it on video, as if her saying that word would make it true.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well,
I think it's
he
really
was
important.
Manipulating her body in a way that she didn't consent to. And she was making that perfectly
that.
Clear.
Well,
what's the word for that? I mean, is there another word?
Assault.
You're assaulting me. Okay.
Yeah.
She could have said that.
Yeah, I think
I've used
in
the word,
terms of legal use of the word rape, I think it's a very specific crime that needs to be kept very specific.
Or else what?
Because sexuality, as we were talking about with the LGBT community and so on, one of the problems in our society is that sexuality, which I think is a core element of being human, is suppressed to a point where people fetishize it and make it part of their identity and become obsessed with it in a way that's unnatural. Right. I think that rape is stigmatized by the sexual aspect of the crime. I actually do think that it's just a form of assault, like you're saying, which I don't want to put words into your mouth. But what you're saying is if somebody, does something to your body that you don't consent to, anything to your body, non-sexual even, that it's a form of rape.
It sounds like you're saying just eliminate the word rape and replace it with assault in all circumstances.
Well, it's a conversation we're having now. I mean, is that the case? Is rape just another form of assault? There was actually...
sure. Yeah,
There was actually a debate in the UK called Is Rape Different? And I think it's a really important debate. It was actually initiated by an article written by a UK barrister or something at law named Helen Rees. And she did this debate called Is Rape Different? Presenting the idea that rape is should not be treated differently in the court of law, that it's just a form of assault.
Then like, so what? Then why do you make us think about the word? It sounds like you're making a distinction without a difference. You know what I mean? You're saying like, well, she shouldn't call it rape.
You are,
because you're saying she shouldn't say the word rape, she should say assault, and then you're saying, well, all rapes are assaults. So
okay, right. Yeah. I get where you're coming from.
You know.
the thing isn't about what I, it's not about what Diana thinks. It's about what the legal system thinks and the genderizing of the word rape and of the crime of rape and of the sexual aspect of rape is not something that I would wish. Right? That's something that exists that I think that it's we're not talking utopias, right? We're talking about the current environment that we have to function within every day. And as long as we're there, and I wish we weren't there, but as long as we're there, I think that we need to be factual about the terms that we use to describe things, right? And I think that this is something that comes up in, on Freedom Fiends with me quite often, is that I'll say things like we or, you know, your president or things like that.
Yeah,
and it's not
my president.
It's not, yeah,
not me.
Exactly. And I understand that, and I agree with that. But I also, there's a big part of me that's, I would call practical, that is thinking in terms of where we are now and where we want to go to.
Yeah, but that's you. That is you. That's not a we, because I really do live in my own little head of a utopia. Like, I do treat the police as I would in Libertopia. You know, I treat the police like they're not special. I have conversations with them like they're totally humans, like they're not just doing their job. Like, I do live in that world. You can join me.
Yeah, no, no. And I do, actually, I think I have two different worlds. I have the world that I live in, but I also have an understanding of the bigger society where I can do my own thing, and I can believe that I have every right to do that, but I shouldn't be surprised when I get arrested for doing certain things, right?
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, and sometimes people get themselves arrested to make a point.
Yeah. I've been there.
So, but what I like to think of what I'm doing is as an activist trying to deal with the society we're in and move it towards something different that people don't know that what it's going to be. They're afraid of it, and I'm trying to ease that transition. And in part, doing that to me is you have to talk in terms of what they know.
Yeah, so how could this girl have talked in terms of what that guy knew? How could we, if we put ourselves, let's project ourselves into this car and be this girl, but do everything right, where she did a lot of things wrong and didn't empathize or communicate with this guy. She wasn't, like, her words weren't landing, and neither were his. Like, they were both talking past each other. So how...
Because
they're
both
make
being
this,
aggressive.
Like, we both want the end result to be she's free to go and he's free to go and everyone is unharmed and nothing happens. So how do we get that result out of a traffic stop like this?
Well, I think it is somewhat to do with understanding the person you're talking to isn't necessarily of the same mindset. That's one of the things that actually is, I find fascinating, overwhelming sometimes, but fascinating, is to think about the reality. When we think about other people in the world, we imagine that everybody we're talking to is thinking like us or is capable of thinking like us. And it's not true. There's so many factors of other people that we're trying to communicate with. People who have chronic depression, which is to some, you know, to some extent disabling, right?
People who are sociopaths and wear badges.
People who have extremely low intelligence, people who have extremely high intelligence,
or we repeat
which is
ourselves.
Also a disability.
Right? Yeah. Hey, well, can we role play? I want to see how this is going to work. Like, let's help this girl, you know? If you're saying, I mean, do you even think she should have been able to escape unscathed? Or you feel like she did something worth being
could've.
Arrested for? Okay,
I absolutely.
So do you want to be the
could've.
Girl, or should I be the girl? You want to be the cop?
You be... I think you make a prettier girl than
I. Oh, okay. All right. So you be the cop. All right, you start.
Okay, so I'm the cop.
Yeah.
Hi, I need you to step out of the vehicle.
What are you pulling me over for? Oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to do it right, right? I'm not supposed to be her. People can watch the video, see how to do it wrong. So, okay, well, try again. Let me start again.
All right. Excuse me, ma'am. I, you know, need you to step out of the vehicle.
Oh, hi, sir. No, I don't really want to do that. Is there something else I could do for you?
Well, I need you to step out of the vehicle. This, vehicle is being driven without a license, and we're going to be towing it away. So we can't do that with you in the vehicle. So I need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Ah, I see that you are asking me to step out of the vehicle. I don't feel comfortable doing that right now. I think maybe there's been a misunderstanding. Is there... some way that I can help you without stepping out of the car?
Unfortunately, no. In order to be able to tow the vehicle, you'll need to remove yourself from it, or I'll have to assist you with that.
I don't want that either. Is there some way that you could just leave me be and not tow my car?
I don't think we're going to really get that far with this. And actually, as we're role-playing, the problem is that, you know, getting into the character and me not playing an idealized version of the character, he is very goal-oriented. He has made an arrest. He's going to tow this vehicle, and she's going to get out of it. And your position is you're not going to get out of it. So really what we're doing is just wasting time.
Well, we're in a stalemate here. So he's going to use force against her, and that's why he stinks. He's going to be like...
You're going to find that outside of the police community, too. You're going to just find that with people you talk to every day.
Yeah, well, if other people use force against me, I can use self-defense, but not with him.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow. The cat in the slingshot.
The boomerang cat. Meow. Yep. 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 All right, Freedom Fiends. We got to wrap this up. This is redemption.
I know. We got to... Redemption in the third act. So what's the situation here? I think it's like maybe she could have gotten out of it. If I played the female, it probably would have gone differently. Be like, I'm so sorry, officer. I'd love to help you out, but I have a bit of a problem in that I don't consider myself a subject to your authority. So, you know, I'd like to have a conversation with you about that. I would have actually started a conversation.
Well, miss, the reality we don't have time for a conversation. This is redemption, so I'm going to need you to just obey.
I know. But the thing is, going to jail is not such a bad thing. I mean, Henry David Thoreau, he went to jail for not paying his taxes, and it was part of his activism. He was so annoyed when his aunt came and bailed him out. It was like, you know, well, what was I doing there then? Like, you know, it's trying to prove a point. Sometimes going to jail is actually a part of your activism.
Huh. So. Yeah, that's kind of that's a great point that we didn't really make. It's like, this girl, she was willing to go all the way in her mind. It's like, you know, she's standing on her convictions. She's disobeying the officer. Well, had she ever considered that she might end up in jail for standing on her convictions and following her conscience? Because if not, she's going to get that awakening sometime. And it's better sooner than when she ends up actually in a cell. So, yeah, sometimes when you stand on convictions, you're going to end up in jail. So just be ready for that. And
when you're dealing with people, you have to understand that they don't know what you know, that they're not coming from the same place. And if you want to communicate with them, you're going to have to go a little bit outside of your own comfort zone sometimes and actually try to communicate.
Yeah. Empathize. Reach people where they are.
They can't just leap and get there. I mean, we're not going to get to a free society just by jumping. There's you know, there's a lot of conversation that has to take place, and you have to sometimes ease people into things.
Right? Yeah, there's a cop blocker named Pete Ayer of copblock.org, and he has a lot of interactions with police officers. If you ever just Google Pete Ayer or cop block,
you'll
see.
I'm glad you enunciated that P. I thought you said something else.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, he is a pro at interacting and empathizing with police officers because he was going to be one. He actually was almost in their shoes, was taking a job as a law enforcer. And now, as a cop blocker, he records the police and has peaceful interactions, keeping a low volume, a polite, respectful tone. It's just completely different from what this girl shared with her activism. And, like, he's been to jail for his acts of peaceful noncompliance. So, once you do it, it gets easier. And sadly, in the U.S., like the most incarcerated country in the world, like it might happen to you. So just be ready and be prepared and know that it's not the end of the world. If you want to stand on conviction, you can do it. Jail might be a part of it. And it's not the end of the road. It's a building block.
Don't hate people for not being able to do more than they're capable of. Some people aren't capable of getting to where you are.
Yeah.
And if they can't do that, then you need to talk to them from that point of view. You need to understand who you're talking to. And that's the first part of conversation, is understanding who you're talking to.
Well, it's weird also that you can't use self-defense. Isn't that stinky? Because, like, with any other person, if they were trying to pull me out of my car and I didn't know who they were and they wanted to take my body someplace that I didn't want to go, I would definitely use self-defense. But you can't do that with cops. So you got to use a different strategy.
No, you can. It's just that you're going to suffer consequences.
Oh, that's going to be really bad.
Than what ought to be true. I mean, you can absolutely do whatever you want. It's just the consequences.
You're going to die.
Discussion.
So don't do that.
But invested authority in people, that's going to exist with or without the state. People are going to take it upon themselves to invest themselves with authority. I think it's important to keep the conversation real, too. The state, in the way it exists now, will probably have shadow forms without the state in the future.
Yeah, like people who like to throw their weight around and threaten violence if you don't comply with whatever they want. Yeah, but those people won't have as much power in Libertopia, because they're going to get laughed at and shamed out of the community forever.
I want to thank whoever it was on Twitter who suggested I do this show with you, because it was an awesome night. I'm so glad that we had this show. It was so much fun.
Yeah, this flew by. Hey, thanks to that person, and thanks to you, Diana, for being so awesome. This was a really fun episode. Lots of laughs,
yeah.
Even at the girl who screamed rape. Which we probably shouldn't do.
I know.
But oh well. We can't help it.
No, I know. We feel for her.
Yeah, we're empathizing.
In a way. Just in a different way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, man. All right, live free, everybody.
Worms.
Don't forget to empathize. Spread independence. And meow. Meow everywhere you go.
Trigger warning. Too late, I know. But trigger warning for the show.
Meow.